You're listening to 91.9 KVCR. I'm Jessica Greenwell. On Fridays, we speak with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR News contributor Cassie McDuff about some of the big stories around the Inland Empire. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Jessica.
So let's start today with some updated election results for several Inland Empire races.
Yeah, let's start with San Bernardino. For the most part, the results we talked about last week didn't change as far as who's ahead. San Bernardino Mayor Helen Tran's lead has held at 54.5%, so she wins in the primary. Councilman Fred Charette, the longest-serving member of the San Bernardino Council, is still headed for a runoff with challenger Joe Salas. But Salas now has more votes than Charette, not a good sign for an incumbent. It looks like not only incumbent Sandra Ibarra is losing in the primary, but Councilman Theodore Sanchez also appears to be losing his seat. He has fewer votes than two of his three challengers. As it stands, former Councilwoman Virginia Marquez will face Ron Alvarado in a runoff. That could change, but as of Wednesday night, Sanchez has less than 25% of the votes to Marquez's and Alvarado's over 30% each. So apart from the mayor, this seems to be a throw-the-bums-out election.
And what about Riverside? Are the results also holding in that city?
Yeah, again, for the most part, the only incumbent running, Councilman Chuck Conder, seems unlikely to win in the primary. As of Wednesday night, he had just under 46% of the vote. He seems to be headed for a runoff with challenger Rich Vandenberg. Another challenger is trailing. There were two open seats on the council. Councilwoman Clarissa Cervantes did not run for re-election. She's running for state assembly again against the same opponent, Leticia Castillo, who is now the incumbent. The other open seat belonged to Jim Perry, who didn't seek re-election, and here one of the three candidates, Luis Hernandez, might win in the primary. As of Wednesday night, he had 50.31%, holding off Oz Puerta and Norma Barreyes, a school board member who the Southern California News Group said was basically AWOL throughout the campaign. So we'll see what happens there.
And we didn't talk about this last week, but another Inland Empire candidate is doing well in a race for statewide office.
Right. The IE had two candidates seeking statewide office this year. One, of course, was Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco, who came in fourth for governor. The other is Chino Valley Unified School Board President Sonia Shaw, who appears to be heading for a runoff in the race for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Of 10 candidates, she's coming in first. Her school district has been in the news for its controversial policies, including parental notification and banning the Pride flag. That name recognition might have helped her. It appears she will face former San Diego Schools Superintendent Richard Barrera, who came in second. The other thing I wanted to mention is that while voters rejected sales tax measures in Riverside and Loma Linda, the voters in Paris approved a new 1% sales tax in their city.
A lot to update. Well, we'll update listeners next week as the vote counting continues.
Yeah, the count continues.
Next, an investigation into two Riverside City workers accused of harassing immigrant vendors has confirmed that the harassment took place, according to a report to the city.
Yeah, the Riverside City Council hired a professional investigations firm more than a year ago to look into allegations that two code enforcement officers had been harassing street vendors, engaging in discourteous, unprofessional, and potentially unlawful behavior towards citizens, particularly targeting immigrant vendors, and that this went on for years. Another city employee blew the whistle on the behavior, which, according to this confidential whistleblower, included confiscating whatever the vendors were selling, balloons, toys, hats, and locking it in a room they called the vault. The results of the investigation confirmed that indeed these acts were going on.
So how did all this come to light?
Well, the report was issued last summer but remained largely unknown until this week when Mayor Patricia Locke Dawson said during a council meeting that she found the abusive behavior very upsetting and called for a comprehensive review of policies, procedures, and staffing rules in the City Community and Economic Development Department to find out how this had become part of the culture. The report focused on the period between September 2023 and January 2025, but the mayor said it had been going on for more than a decade. Locke Dawson said the prevalence of the behavior points to a toxic and dysfunctional department. She asked the city manager and his team to do a full review and figure out what led to it and to fix it.
So the report focused on the behavior of two employees. What happened to them?
Well, we haven't heard of any disciplinary action, but the two whose behavior was detailed in the report no longer work for the city. And the director of the Community and Economic Development Department has also departed, since the accusations were that she and the deputy director had received multiple complaints about this behavior but did nothing about it. The deputy director may still work for the city.
And I understand the mayor is not alone in calling for accountability and change.
That's right. A group called the Inland Empire Coalition for Immigrant Justice is asking for a public apology to the vendors and their families, refunds for the confiscated items, and a moratorium on ticketing street vendors. They also called for accountability for any Riverside officials who ignored the situation.
And lastly today, the Redlands Unified School District, which has paid millions of dollars to settle claims of sexual abuse of students by staff or teachers, now substantially complies with state rules for investigating such allegations.
Right. We've talked about this situation in Redlands over the past few years. 2 years ago, the State Department of Justice undertook a 19-month investigation of what went wrong at Redlands Unified and found that the district systematically violated laws designed to protect students from sexual harassment, assault, and abuse. District officials had failed to report allegations of sexual abuse to the police, as required by law, failed to properly investigate the cases, and failed to document them as the law requires. As a result, the district entered into a stipulated agreement with the Attorney General's office that required wide-ranging reforms to prevent harassment, assault, or abuse on its campuses. As part of the agreement, the State Attorney General's office annually reviews the district's progress during the school year, July to June. The second annual report just came out. It says the district has made major improvements in training staff, investigating complaints, and other student safety measures. But it still has trouble completing the complaint inquiries in a timely fashion. About 21% of misconduct allegations are not resolved within the required deadlines. Still, Superintendent Juan Cabral lauded the district's progress, although he said the work is far from finished and the district will continue improving its response to sexual harassment and abuse complaints.
And I recall that these mistakes in handling complaints have been very costly for the district.
They sure have. Since 2016, the district has been sued on behalf of 25 students who say they were victimized by teachers or coaches, resulting in the district paying more than $52 million in settlements.
And what's the district doing besides providing training to staff and administrators?
Well, besides making sure teachers and administrators know how to handle complaints, it is also providing age-appropriate training to students so they know what to do if they face such behavior. And the district is training parents and guardians on what the procedures should be if a child is victimized.
Well, let's hope the district continues to improve how it handles these cases.
Let's hope so.
Thank you, Cassie, for all this news, as always.
Thank you, Jessica.
Longtime journalist Cassie McDuff helps us out regularly on our Friday morning news wrap, and these reports are posted at kvcr.org. This report is made possible with the support of the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers. I'm Jessica Greenwell, KVCR News.